The Voices.Earth podcast series is brought to you by the .Earth domain. In each episode, we shine a light on organizations and individuals who are part of the growing .Earth tribe, as well as those outside of our tribe who are all making our planet a better place. In this Voices.Earth podcast interview, we're speaking with Florian Reber, who is the founder of TalesOfChange.Earth, which is a website that chronicles his biking expeditions across the Rockies and the Alps to document the impact of climate change. And Florian, how are you doing today?
Hey, Matt. I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. And let's jump in. So before you tell us about your bike expeditions across the Rockies and the Alps, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. So I'm a Swiss citizen, 36 years old, living in Zurich. I'm a political scientist by training and have spent most of my professional life thus far working on topics related to sustainability, natural resources, and climate change. So, you know, my daily life is really about spending my times in an office, in meeting rooms, on the phone. But I'm in my leisure time, I'm really passionate about the outdoors, spending winters in the mountains to go splitboarding and summers to go mountain biking, kind of things we can really enjoy doing here in the Alps.
Oh, that's great. That's a wonderful area that you live in. That's a beautiful spot. And so this probably dovetails perfectly. So obviously you're passionate about climate change. You know, how did you come about the idea for the TalesOfChange.Earth expeditions that you did?
Yes. So the idea of the project was to kind of combine my work experience in climate change with my passion for the outdoors. And well, it didn't just happen like that. And I didn't just wake up one morning and I wanted to do that. But I ended up about last year at some point, I, you know, was injured, recovering from an accident, had 6 weeks off work and clearly had too much time to think. And during that time, I, kind of the idea that I wanted to engage differently on the topic of climate change and go out there and go talk with people. And then over a number of conversations with friends and colleagues, actually, as well, this we kind of, you know, coined this project of doing bike rides and go talk with people and about what's happening right now with climate change and do those bike rides in landscapes that people can identify with. And that's actually really at the heart of this project. So not talking about what's happening in 50 years from now, but documenting what's happening now. And, you know, considering also who is my audience, which is primarily, I would say, a North American and a Swiss audience so far, really look at what's happening in the Alps and then in the second round in the Rocky Mountains. And those are landscapes that people here and in the US quite strongly identify with. So that with this project, I was really looking to personally to combine my passion with my profession, but also to find a way to tell climate change stories that relate to people's identities, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. I think that's awesome. I've certainly spent some time on the site, and there's a lot of amazing tales that you have there. And, you know, overall, from a high level perspective, what are you hoping to achieve here? More educating the masses, maybe try to influence some future legislation to counter the impacts of climate change. Would love to hear your larger vision for this effort.
So there's no political goal at all. You know, this is, you know, there's no funding here. And I'm doing this, as I said, out of driven by passion to a large extent. And at the beginning, there was certainly also an interest of keeping my professional and personal network up to speed on what I'm doing. So as I mentioned before, I basically quit my job to do this. And I think sharing those stories is, you know, it's for me was quite a helpful way as well to keep my professional network engaged in what I do and hopefully share some interesting stories and maybe also some surprising ones. And but of course, I mean, everything I do is in the public domain. So there's the audience is growing. And what I like to share with the audience is, again, anecdotal stories. It's not, well, I guess it relates also to what science tells us, but it's not too many stats, too many statistics. It's more emotional stories that are anchored in accounts of individuals. Again, things that I hope people can identify with more easily and maybe, you know, gets them thinking a little bit about what's happening in our backyards. If you spend most of your time living in cities, I mean, sometimes you know, you might experience a heat wave or, you know, freak storm Sandy, like if you live in New York, for example, things that get more frequent and more intense. But the more like gradual and subtle changes that happen over time and have like deep impacts on ecosystems, you don't really see that if you only spend your time in the city. So creating that awareness about like how our own backyards and those amazing landscapes that, you know, like the Alps or the big open spaces in the West and the US are being impacted, I think that's the kind of, you know, awareness I'm trying to create also with this project.
That's outstanding. And as I mentioned, I did spend some time on your site, and some of the findings and some of your stories are, you know, a bit alarming. And when you set out on this effort, were you expecting to see such an impact of when it comes to climate change in these mountainous regions?
I think the answer is yes and no. So I have spent like the last, you know, I don't know, 12 years or so working on those topics. So I think it's fair to say that I'm relatively well informed. But then, as I said before, I'm also like spending most of my professional life in like, you know, offices and meeting rooms. So yeah, I had a good sense of like what are the, you know, big topics of how climate change is like materializing in those landscapes. But then, of course, I mean, there were a lot of surprises as well. And you know, when I started last October, we had just this massive heat wave in Europe last summer, very dry and very hot summer. And that had some like outstanding consequences for farmers. And, you know, rivers were running dry, some springs were disappearing, kind of those acute impacts of climate change. But then there are also like the like more subtle impacts that happen over time and that maybe the press also sometimes finds more difficult to cover. And I personally found those like maybe the more interesting ones. And like, for example, when I was in northern Italy, right at the borders with Austria, there's an interesting valley where up to like 20 years ago, farmers were mainly like growing corn. And now with climate change, it's possible to grow apples higher up in this valley where before it was too cold to grow apples, basically. Now, growing apples is economically, it's more interesting than growing corn. So some people are making more money, but it's basically the farmers that were already rich before that are making more money now. So there's a bit of a social component to the impacts of climate change as well in terms of like inequalities. But there is also a health component because as apple monoculture, apple plantations are spreading throughout the valley, the use of pesticides has been exploding. And people that, you know, used not to be exposed to those pesticides, they started like mobilizing and revolting. So, and because of climate change, there were like new economic opportunities, but it also created new social conflict. And it basically, addressing the issue means that everybody has to come together in this valley. You know, people need to find a solution that works for everybody. And I had some fascinating conversations with farmers on that topic. And that's really kind of a subtle impact of climate change over time, which is having very deep impacts on the daily lives of people. Similarly, in the Rockies, so this summer, I must say, in terms of the impacts, one of the most, like, visually most terrifying impacts for me were seeing how the forests, like the pine forests in higher altitude, are like impacted by the pine beetle. So this is like about 10 years ago, the pine beetle infestation started spreading throughout the West. And the link to climate change is a very direct one. So winters are not cold enough anymore to kill off the mountain pine beetle. So the mountain pine beetle is proliferating or has proliferated. And those same conditions that play in favor of the beetle are conditions that the trees, the pines, really, they can't cope well with more drier climates, for example, and they get more vulnerable to attacks by the beetles. So you add those two together and you end up in a situation where you have like mass die-off of those trees. And cycling through those forests, which I did a lot, given that I was on the Continental Divide Trail, which is, you know, to a large extent on remote forest roads and trails. So you are in those forests all the time, and it's quite a sight to see all those gray trees, dead trees, for miles and miles and miles. And so that was quite often I thought it must have been quite nice to be on this trail like 10 years ago when the forest was still like intact.
Wow, there's a lot going on there. And I think you brought up some great points about how we are all interconnected when it comes to climate change. And it's much more complicated than we think it is. But seeing it firsthand like you did, that's amazing. And I know you did a wonderful job documenting that on your site. And speaking of your site, talesofchange.earth, you are a .earth domain name user. Why did you choose to use .earth?
Yes. So, you know, ever since I got to know about the existence of this domain, I really loved it. And I thought it fits very well with the kind of messages that sustainability-oriented organizations, initiatives, or projects such as mine want to convey. So if I, you know, if I read .earth, I immediately see a planet, which is like the one thing, which is like, you know, this is our home, right? We all have at least a little bit of identity with the planet, and we hopefully will have much more empathy for the state of our planet going forward. And so this kind of association that .earth creates immediately fits very well with a page related to nature and environment related storytelling.
Yeah, it really does. That's awesome. Great to hear that feedback there. Thanks, Florian. Appreciate those insights there. And so for your efforts, what does the future hold? You're going to be planning more trips? Anything on the horizon?
Potentially, yes. But right now, so I'm, as I said, I'm back in Zurich. I just had like basically a year to do those trips and have a little bit of like work in between. But I'm now like working as an independent sustainability consultant and advisor. And so this is like paying my bills. And I very much hope to continue the project maybe next summer, maybe again with something a little bit closer to home. But this is all like up in the air. But I believe that, well, I would certainly love to continue it, but maybe it's also a way of, you know, inspiring others to do similar trips. And particularly, like, I think combining a documentary type of approach with like bikepacking or traveling by bike, I found that personally very enriching. So, you know, maybe it's also about, you know, showing the world how traveling by bike is an opportunity not only to have a great time, but really also to experience the landscape and share stories.
That's awesome. You know, Florian, really appreciate your insights today and love everything that you've done with the site and with this entire effort that you've undertaken here. And, you know, before we sign off today, is there anything else to add? Anything we may have missed?
Well, thanks, Matt. And yeah, you know, I think people often wonder, like, you know, what can I do myself as an individual on climate change? And, you know, we are in a very like, you know, serious situation. I think the term climate crisis is very appropriate. But there is always this, you know, question about, do my individual actions like really, really add up? I don't want to go in there, but I think what people really can do, and everybody can do that, and it's an important part of the equation, is to inform yourself and to talk about it and to ask questions and maybe, you know, engage others within your family or in your personal professional network. Really kind of just recognize it as a topic which is impacting our lives in all kind of different ways. And I would encourage everybody to try to find a personal way to connect with nature. I think for me, it has been a tremendously enriching experience to travel through like remote areas of the US, connect with people living in those landscapes, and really also like seeing like, you know, what's happening. And if nothing else, finding your way to appreciate nature, I believe will only like strengthen your commitment to protecting it.
That's great. What a perfect way to end this interview, Florian. And for all of our listeners, you just heard an exclusive Voices.Earth podcast interview with Florian Reber, who is the founder of talesofchange.earth, which, as we discussed, is his website that chronicled his biking expeditions across the Rockies and the Alps to document the impact of climate change. And Florian, thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, thank you, Matt.
Thank you for listening to this segment. .earth is a real live internet domain that anyone can use. Listeners can go to our Voices.earth site to find out what others are doing with their unique .earth domains. Through Voices.earth, you can also secure your own .earth domain name through all major registrars.